Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Today, the Biden administration advocates for hormone treatments for trans kids while rolling out gender-neutral passports. If that isn't crazy enough, Uncle Joe also plans to tap into the oil reserves to deal with higher gas prices. It's almost, I don't know. It's almost like there's something else that we could be doing, that we're not doing, that the administration is not letting us do. But what do I know? I'm not a gas expert. We've got all that and more coming up, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the news and why it matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and I am joined by the dynamic duo. It is Stubergear, host of Stu Does America, and Pat Gray, host of Pat Gray Unleashed. Both of these people you should be listening to, you should be subscribed to on audio podcasts, as well as YouTube. It's been a while since you guys have been on together.
It's about time. Mm-hmm. It's about time. People are demanding it.
Did you riot?
We did. We did hold a Antifa-type rally
Burned
outside.
Down three stores.
But it was mostly peaceful?
Mostly peaceful.
Yeah. We didn't burn down 1,000 stores.
Right. There's still stores standing today in this general area.
Okay. So this is a really good day for you guys to be on. I want to get into, I feel like every day the trans stuff gets worse and worse and worse that we have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of it today. So the White House has come out advocating for early trans surgeries and saying that hormones are crucial for kids and teens who identify as trans. This was messaging released today, and the White House actually flagged a resource from the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health on Transgender Day of Visibility, which I don't, do we know, is it, like, how many years this has been going on? I'm not particularly sure. The Transgender Day of Visibility, I feel like that's a relatively new day. Probably next year it will be a holiday. We might get the week off for it. I don't know.
If you don't take the week off, you're a hate monger.
You're a transphobe.
Yeah,
that's what I hear. Which, you know, I'm just saying.
Which I agree with. I would actually take a week off for this holiday. I don't know what it is or what it means, but I will take a week off for it.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it means. I don't support it. I will take a week off for it. This is, they say, intended to, quote, inform parents and guardians, educators, and other persons supporting children and adolescents with information on what is gender-affirming care and why it is important to transgender, non-binary, and other gender-expansive young people's well-being. Which is always important. So let's show the chart that they have here. So affirming care, they have social affirmation at any stage. When is it used? At any age or stage. Puberty blockers are used during puberty. Hormone therapy, they say, it should be used early adolescence onward. And they say it's partially reversible. And then to gender affirming surgeries, top surgery, bottom surgery, and the like. And when is it used? It says typically used in adulthood or case by case in adolescence. They do at least notate that one is not reversible. So this is like they're going all in when it comes to this. I want to give you one other story here. So the Biden administration is also, while this is going on, they are rolling out gender neutral passports. So in April, U.S. citizens can choose X as their gender on their passport instead of either male or female. Are you going to make the change as soon as it happens?
I've been incredibly disturbed over the years as I've tried to get an X passport and they wouldn't give it to me.
Really?
But now, finally, I'm being freed.
I've been trying to get an XX or XY because of the chromosomes. I thought were significant here.
I thought the X was weird. I'm like, There should be another X.
Right. That's how this is supposed to work.
If this works like Zelensky's spelling, it should be an IXYY, shouldn't it?
I like that.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating thing to watch as it happens, though.
Incredible.
There was that article that came out, I think it was last week, from USA Today that said scientists have no idea how to tell what a woman is. They can't come to a conclusion on
what?
This.
I didn't see this.
Oh, you didn't see this?
What?
They had this big thing where, like, after the Ketanji Brown Jackson question happened, USA Today wrote a whole column about how scientists agree there's no way to tell what a woman is.
That's
true.
Stop.
Oh, my God. It's so you of all
up.
People. How? Of all people, how do you not know about this? This is the greatest article of all time. This would be an easy hour for both of you on the show, just reading it and going through it, because it's incredible. And they try to walk you through. And
So
instead of just doing what we always do, right, you know, we're conservative shows, we're saying, hey, like, let's look at the obvious here. We know what a man and a woman is. Like, for us, it's pretty obvious, right? Like, I have a new puppy. I know that puppy is a girl. How do I know?
Because she told you.
No, I didn't. She didn't bark out a gender. I just knew. And we know how this works. But most of the time I feel like I stop there. You know, it's like, okay, that's enough of their point is so dumb.
Yeah.
But I decided to look into it. And in this article, they explain the six different ways to tell what gender someone might be. And a lot of them are the things that you'll be shocked to hear we bring up all the time, like, you know, birth gender and, you know, chromosomes and things like this. And there's a couple in there that are just sort of like, you know, innocuous, but again, would be things we'd probably accept largely. The last one, though, is secondary sexual characteristics. And I'm like, this is where we're going here, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is what they're doing. They're saying, you can only tell if it's a woman. Well, you know, this person might have all the other five things would be the traditional version of a woman. But the sixth one is secondary sexual characteristics, which could be anything. So I decided to look up what those were. Long list of them.
Of course.
And here's what they are. It's stuff like men have broad shoulders, right? Like men are taller and stronger, women have larger breasts than men.
Wow.
This is all news to me. I had
no
idea. But like all of them, when you looked at even that category, and then you look at Leah Thomas, which one are you going to say she is? You'd still say she's a man.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so even in their like convoluted way of trying to figure this out, the same determination comes to the forefront. And we in there, they quote expert after expert after expert, and none of them seem to be able to figure this out. Not the gender studies experts, none of these like highfalutin academics have any idea, with the exception of the biologist, who's basically like, yeah, in the law, like you have to deal with sex, man, woman, like basically agreed with our analysis. But it did strike me as one of the problems we're going to have with this going forward is no conservative in their right mind would go through an entire career in school and work their way up to be a gender studies expert. That's insane, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what is happening is dumb journalists get in there and they have to get a quote from a gender studies expert, and they go to them and they're all crazy liberals. There's not one conservative in the field. I guess maybe Deborah So. You have like no,
yeah.
She's not even a conservative. But like there's nobody out there for them to quote except these evil people who get banned from Amazon. So they just keep churning this out, and it winds up feeding itself over and over and over again. And this is how you get documents like this that are somehow approved by your government.
It's so crazy. Pat, let me add in a few other quotes that they said. It's to me, it's like so egregious what they're trying to advocate for the children. They said, for transgender and non-binary children and adolescents, early gender-affirming care is crucial to overall health and well-being, as it allows the child or adolescent to focus on social transitions and can increase their confidence while navigating the healthcare system. Transgender surgeries, hormones, and affirmations are important because these procedures have been shown to increase positive outcomes for transgender and non-binary children and adolescents.
We've come so far, so fast, that you can't even get your head around this stuff anymore. We are 3 years removed from the World Health Organization considering transgenderism a mental disorder.
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago, they stopped. How old were you in 2019? I think I was four.
Mm-hmm.
It has happened with such rapidity that you couldn't have guessed that we'd be in this situation just 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And I don't know why necessarily. I guess we've gone from 0.7% of the population being trans to about 87% of the population.
It's a lot of surgery.
You know, we got to accommodate them now. That's a lot of surgery. This was something that was illegal. Nobody did it just years ago. You had to go to Holland or something to get a sex surgery. And now you can do it at 7-Eleven. I think we have trans surgeons at 7-Eleven now. Yeah.
I think it's
you stop in for a big gulp and a sex change.
You get a free Slurpee.
Yeah.
It's a great deal.
Yeah, if you fill your gas enough times, your tank, you will get
a punch card.
Surgery.
You accrue some points.
It's great. 12 times.
Yeah. That's awesome.
To get the free surgery. It is. It has happened really, really fast.
Unreal.
And to the extent that it's, you know, one thing I think is mildly encouraging out of this is, and maybe it's because it's gone so fast. Maybe this is a positive thing in this way. Just because, yes, all the crazy pressures are there. Yes, people are getting banned and all these terrible things. But I do think this has hit people as obviously incorrect. Right? Where some of these issues, I think, wind up being these, they turn into this, like, you know, we were talking about this a little bit before we went on the air because we're cool people. We were talking about abortion. And it's just become a political issue. People don't even think about it anymore.
Yeah.
When you got people to think about it, they can change their minds. But because if you're either an R or a D or you're pro-choice, you're pro-life, and you're stuck there forever, and it's impossible to move, with something like this, I think they tried to do it so quickly that people are like, wait, wait a minute. You want that guy to swim against my daughter? Like, wait, whoa. Yeah. And you're seeing polling, you know, that looks, you know, like a 70-30 type of issue. Now, that might change. They might succeed and change those numbers over time. The same thing you're seeing with, you know, the Florida Don't Say Gay bill. When people actually hear the language, it's a 40-point issue for Republicans. And, you know, Democrats, number one, politically are overreaching here. And number two, I think it just hits people, even moderates, even some on the left, who just say, wait a minute, like, guys, I understand, I want to be nice, I want to be respectful of everybody's, you know, different lifestyle and all that, but like, this is obviously false. You want me to embrace 2 + 2 = 5? There's never been a clearer 2 + 2 = 5 issue than this. We all know, we're all looking at the 4, and you're telling us it's a 5. And in some cases, like Caitlyn Jenner, they're telling us a 10. She's the most beautiful woman in the world. So it's just obviously wrong. And I mean, she is stunning, though. I will say that.
She's stunning.
She doesn't have arms like Michelle Obama. I will just tell you. Mm-hmm. It is interesting because I think that it's the same thing with the late-term abortion issue, right? Like, Democrats have gone so radical on you should have an abortion up until the point of birth. And by the way, you should shout about it and you should be proud of it. Mm-hmm. And you should brag about it to all your friends, how many abortions you've had. And you should go on national television and talk about it like it's a joke. And I think that it's the same thing with that, with this. It's like, even regular people, even Democrats, look at that and they're like, that feels really gross and I can't get on board with it. So it's not anything that the conservatives are doing to like steer people in the right direction. It's always just the Democrats doubling down to the point of they're so radical that people are like, ooh, I can't be a part of that anymore.
Yeah, in a way, it's a gift to Republican politicians who can sit there and just say, I don't know, don't kill kids as they're coming out of the woman.
Right.
And, you know, this is third term abortion.
Or man.
Or man, sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
How dare you?
Thank you so much. Thank you for catching me for my hatred. Mm-hmm. I think, if I remember the numbers right, third-term abortion, not what I would consider necessarily late, or, you know, partial birth abortion, but third-term abortion is an 84-13 issue in this country. It is not close. It is not close. No one thinks this, almost no one thinks. I was so mad I hit the mug. No one thinks this is a good idea. I mean, only the AOCs of the world approve of this. But what's interesting is, it's basically everybody in the Democratic Party that is actually elected in office. Mm-hmm. To the extent that they can't even say that 1 second before birth is off limits. They can't even say that. And, you know, people hear that. They recognize that that is just, it hits them not intellectually as wrong, but emotionally as wrong. And I think a lot of times that's more powerful.
And fortunately, because the trans woman battle involves another protected group, or one that used to be protected, and that's women, there might be some pushback on this. And we might come out on top of this situation. I hope, because you look at people like J.K. Rowling, who have pushed back against all of this, don't say women things, spell it with an X, you don't know a woman from a man, because she's, you know, a radical liberal, But she also understands the science right. of womanhood versus manhood. And, you know, so you've got people like that pushing back. That helps us.
I know we got to go to break, but I want to get your take, guys, on, you mentioned Caitlyn Jenner mm-hmm. earlier.
This is, of course,
Bruce Jenner.
Well, you just dead named him.
I did. I dare you to try to cancel me over it.
Wow.
Fox News.
I almost caught myself.
You dead named him. You dead sexed her.
Dead sexed. And that's dead gendered.
That's even worse than naming.
Is it?
That's the worst one, the dead sexing.
I guess I won't be back next Thursday.
Fox News. Fox News has signed Caitlyn Jenner as a contributor. And they say, Caitlyn's story is an inspiration to us all. She is a trailblazer in the LGBTQ community, and her illustrious career spans a variety of fields that will be a tremendous asset for our audience. This is Fox News. Why are you still watching this network? Anyone want to tackle this?
Fascinating. Having a commentator on, the prime determinant factor there is if they have something interesting to say, they can have a weird, different background. I mean, it's okay to have people with different voices. To sit here and do the glowing, she's a beautiful woman is always an awkward thing for me. But, like, this is happening all over the place. You know, Ellen Page, who is now, Elliot Page, I guess? Netflix has gone back and changed her credits in previous movies, like Juno, where now says... Juno has Elliot Page in it, which it didn't. No. It had Ellen Page in it. And like, what was the determination of this company? Why did they hire a man to play this role of a pregnant girl? Like, why did they do that? Because it wasn't a man. That's why. And still isn't a man. Wow. People can go through their own internal conflicts. And you know what? It would probably be interesting to understand what gender my puppy thinks that she is. However, it's not important to the outside world. It might be interesting for them to go through it. It might be a battle inside their mind. It might be all sorts of different things. But it is not necessarily interesting to outside observers. Outside observers are supposed to understand what the truth of the matter is, and we all know what that is.
Yeah, Pat, feels a lot like pandering.
Oh, and it's really disappointing to see Fox cave into it. To welcome her as an inspiration to
as an athlete.
When she was a man, she was an inspiration and a really good athlete. Are we going to go back and say Caitlyn Jenner won the gold medal in the men's decathlon competition?
You can't do that.
It's incredible.
Well, that's what they did with Ellen Page. I heard a podcast once from ESPN and they were talking about. They just were talking about the decathlon. It was about the decathlon and had nothing to do with Bruce Jenner. But like, you can't talk about the decathlon without talking about Bruce Jenner. So they went through the whole thing. They're talking about Bruce Jenner. These guys, these athletes are like, well, you know, I grew up. I was watching Bruce Jenner. It was amazing. And they had these disclaimers that ran like, Bruce, you're not going to believe this, but Bruce Jenner is actually Caitlyn Jenner. And they should have said Caitlyn Jenner. We're so sorry they said Bruce Jenner. It's like, Bruce Jenner won the freaking medal. When you said, hey, Bruce, he'd look at you. That's how that worked that entire time. Now, if he's decided to change his name now, that doesn't change what he was then.
Yeah. Really, really sad to see Fox News go that route. All right. We've got more to come. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Z-Stack. So if you've been watching this program the last couple years, I don't have to tell you this, but it's really time that you have to take control of your own health because the government is not going to protect you. Big Pharma, you know, is not going to protect you. If you are watching my face every day, you better know that Big Pharma is not going to protect you. That is where Z-Stack comes in. It is a specially formulated immune-boosting supplement. It's got zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, vitamin D. This is all formulated by Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. He's the same doctor that treated President Trump when he got COVID. It's the same doctor that helped him make the decision to take hydroxychloroquine. This is kosher. It's GMP certified. It's produced right here in the United States. And look, it doesn't only help you with COVID, all of the variants of COVID. It is also going to help your immune system fight off things like the flu, fight off things like cold. These are all ingredients that are really, really amazing for you to just have every day, no matter what you're trying to protect yourself from. So there's no reason to wait. my son, my baby actually just got a cold. And like all of us have held on strong because we are taking Z-Stack Life every day. You got to go do it. Go to zstacklife.com/Y. Enter the promo code Y. You'll get a discount off of your first order. That is zstacklife.com/Y, promo code Y. We just got done talking about how the Biden administration apparently doesn't know what a woman actually is. This will be interesting to figure out because the same administration just proposed a $7.5 billion 2023 budget that contains a provision to put the first woman and person of color on the moon. So this is in the section of to fund NASA. The provision is to enhance U.S. human spaceflight leadership. And this is supposed to happen by 2025. And of course, like everything else in the government now, it has to include diversity, equity, and inclusion, which, by the way, this budget just in itself uses the word equity 158 times in 158 pages. So it's a big part of their budget, equity. And it's just interesting, you guys, because I don't, like, what is a woman? Because they just got done telling us that anyone can be a woman if they want to. So where is this money going to put the first woman and person of color on the moon? Is it going to be an actual woman? Is it can trans women do it? Like, where do we even stand? I don't even know, because every time I turn around, they're completely contradicting themselves. Also, why are we spending money on this crap? That's all I got.
Well, that's a lot. And it's, you're totally right on this. I mean, it is a fascinating thing to watch because they keep talking themselves into these corners. You know, I always think of it as like there are just, you know, you think of a map and two major roads intersecting. And a lot of times that's the liberal argument. And these cars just crash into each other in the intersection because they don't work together. Like, you can't say that you don't know what a woman is and name the first black woman Supreme Court justice.
Yes.
Like, you can't. Like, how do you know you named them?
Who and nominate the first black woman Supreme Court justice who won't admit what the definition of a woman is.
Yeah, she can't answer that.
like
what kind
what?
Of weird appeal to expertise is this? Just freaking say it. You know, if you know you're a woman, how do you know it?
You wouldn't be in the position you were today if you were not a woman.
Yeah, I guess that's the only way she knows is she got named. She was like shocked. Wow, I thought I was a dude this whole time. And then here we are. I mean, it's just such a it's so obviously ridiculous. And, you know, there is like, it's hard to find any, you know, anything to go into because it's such a strange and obviously false premise. You know, I remember reading 1984 and thinking to myself, like, okay, this is an interesting story about how government can get out of control and how people can be sheep, essentially. But obviously, they don't really mean that someone could be fooled to say 2 + 2 = 5. Like, that's not a real example. That could never happen. Absolutely, it could happen. Absolutely, it could happen. Look at this. We are looking at people that we all know. All of us know. It's not just us. This is not secret knowledge for conservatives on the Blaze. This is not only what talk show hosts knows and people at you know at the Daily Wire know. Everyone knows this. They all agree with us in private. In their brains, they all know what we're saying is true. Yet we are still going on with this idiotic game. And it's almost impossible to talk about because how do you convince a person that 2 + 2 = 4 if they think it's 5? What do you do? There's no, it's just completely false.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when we were doing the Pat and Stu back in the day and we were watching a clip of Ellen DeGeneres and it sticks with me because she described it as, she said, sex is, you know, it's a whatever, it's a man and a woman, but gender is how you feel in your mind, how you feel in your mind. And I always caught, it stuck with me of like, okay, well, let's just say there is a feeling where you feel like, you know, Caitlyn Jenner might feel like, you know, he's a woman. And that might be interesting to study. It's certainly interesting for her own health issues and all the things associated with what she might be dealing with. But on the other hand, it's not for me to worry about how she feels, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's something else. And I thought to myself the other day, Ellen has got, if she still maintains that viewpoint, now has to be a transphobe because that's no longer an acceptable viewpoint. I remember latching onto it because I was like, okay, I can kind of understand this. Here's one of the biggest gay rights activists in the world, one of the most famous lesbians in the world up there on stage explaining this so that average people in the middle of the country that watch your show can understand it. And it was interesting to hear. And I was like, okay, I see what you're saying. Like, you're just saying there's some other side factor that's different, and maybe we can understand it a little bit better. She's got to be a transphobe by now. She's got to be. It's probably why they don't let her on TV anymore.
maybe part of it.
Maybe, I don't know.
And for the administration to be specifying that it has to be a woman, there has to be a minority, that's insulting to the woman and the minority. Mm-hmm. Because now they'll know, and maybe they don't. Maybe they just don't think about it this way because they're probably leftists anyway. But if it were me and they said, this has to be a male around 60-ish talk show host that goes up and lands on the moon this time, I think, well, I didn't really deserve this, right? They just kind of ceded it to me. I got a handout.
Yeah.
It's insulting. It was insulting, I think, to Ketanji Brown Jackson. Mm-hmm. It's insulting to whoever winds up to do this, going to the moon. It's pathetic. It's taking away all of the skill and the effort and the motivation that you had your whole life to get to a position where you could go to the moon or you could become a Supreme Court justice, because they've just said, yeah, we're just going to give it to you because you're you and the way you look.
Yeah, and like they might also be qualified, right? I'm sure
there's plenty of people in these categories. You're not going to know. Right. You'll never know.
What a terrible thing.
Yeah.
What do you go through this process for? You want to prove that you're the best at something. You want to show that you can achieve these things based on merit. Why would you want to achieve something based on skin color? It's the same thing that correctly we look back at our history and complain about when we're talking about. I was watching a documentary on baseball the other day, and they were talking about perfect games. And I think it was Bob Feller had a perfect game in like 1948 or something. And they correctly pointed out, and I think it's notable, that that he played in a league that was not that did not have black players in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like that is an asterisk. Like it obviously was. And that's not the way it should be. They had eliminated all competition that wasn't white. Wrong. Right.
Yeah.
Now we're doing the same thing on the other side and saying we're just going to eliminate all competition that's white.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like that's also wrong. Stop making decisions based on skin color. It's a pretty easy guideline.
Also, I'm having a hard time, just as a side note, that's not necessarily trans related, but going back to the moon by 2025 or 2029. So what? We did it in 1969. Yeah. I can't get excited about something we did 53 years ago, and now all of a sudden it's a really hard thing to do and we can't do it for another 3 years. How did that happen? That's another liberal thing, because they stopped the space program.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break, and then I want to get into the Biden administration planning to tap our oil reserves to control the gas prices.
Really, we'll
get
idea.
Into that when we return. You think
really,
so?
Really good.
Really?
Good.
Really?
All their ideas are good ideas.
Yeah, they are. They've done really well.
Joe Biden is reportedly preparing to order the release of up to 1 million barrels of oil per day from the nation's strategic petroleum reserve. This is, they say, in order to control the energy prices that have spiked. Now, the Biden administration would call it the Putin price hike. But if you look at the actual graph of like when the cost of gasoline and oil started spiking, it was long before anything between Russia or Ukraine broke out. So according to the Department of Energy, they say more than 568 million barrels of oil were held in the reserves as of March 25th. But how many barrels of oil do we use in a day in this country?
Over 20 million barrels a day.
So we're going to release up to 1 million barrels a day.
Right.
And we only have so many, right? 568, maybe, if this is according to March 25th. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to release one a day and think that that's going to make a difference.
One a day for 180 days, potentially.
And then deplete the emergency reserve that we have for our military. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, just our military could be, like, stalled where it is right now. Just we couldn't move it.
Well, do you think that that's a bad thing? Because the military is actually very inclusive right now, and they are having like lots of Zoom calls about their LGBTQ plus communities. So
and
I think we're set.
I did hear that violence is never the answer, no matter what. And what do you use the military for? Violence. So it's not the answer. So maybe it's a good thing they run out of energy. Maybe.
As we're facing World War III.
Right.
That is what we want, right. I think.
This was a bad idea when George Bush proposed it back in the day when
it's
he was
stupid.
Having high gas prices. This is not what it's for. You don't do this to lower prices. But, I mean, it's incomprehensible that you would do it when this is going on.
Mm-hmm.
When Russia is invading Ukraine, when we are one border away from an all-out NATO world war, right? Like, if they decide they're going to roll across the border, remember, Belarus, which is their state, basically, they basically run it, mm-hmm. is on the border of all these NATO states. They don't even need to go through Ukraine to get there. One outbreak where they decide to do something like this, and all of a sudden, that strategic oil reserve is going to become really important really fast. And I mean, it's insane to deplete it right now. Look, oil prices are high. It sucks, but it's not the only thing that's going up. And it's been going up, as you point out, long before Vladimir Putin came into the picture. This has gone on for a very, very long time. And if you go back and look, you can see tweets from the Biden administration showing you a half a cent drop from like 6 months ago to try to brag about how their policies, as they describe it, their policies are bringing gas prices down. Well, what are they doing now? Because if you draw that graph out to today, it looks a lot worse. They've stopped updating it, in case you wondered, shockingly. They have not updated that graph in quite a while, mainly because the graph wouldn't fit on the screen. The line goes so high that you can't even fit the graph on the screen in its current form. So you look at this and it's hard to imagine someone having a worse first 18 months.
It's
to the point where I'm starting to wonder, would Kamala actually be better? And yeah. I know that's a hard thing to think about. But here, my main case on this is at least Kamala blabs and blabs and blabs and doesn't say anything. Like, that's what she's famous for. She runs her mouth forever. And you're like, what did she just say? She didn't say anything that made sense. He's just blurting out things that will lead us into nuclear war.
That's
like
true.
He is going to gaff us into a nuclear apocalypse. I'd rather have the vapid zilch with heels than I would him at this point.
Yeah. And,
God, that's hard for me.
It is hard.
And the other thing about her, just to make my Kamala case here, she's also be very ineffective. Like, she would not be able to get anything done. Mm-hmm. So she wouldn't be able to get anything passed, and she probably would not blurt out private military plans in the middle of a speech while in Poland. I'm just saying, she'll say something dumb, but it shouldn't be the thing that starts a world war.
You have a point.
It's not a great point, because, I mean, she sucks. But I'm just saying, I am legitimately worried with him.
No.
I mean, are you guys, because, I mean, that the statement he made about taking Vladimir Putin out of power, which, you know, they're like, oh, well, of course, everyone thinks he should be out of power. Yeah, you don't say it when you're freaking president.
Right.
Yeah. I was angry. Yeah. I was mad. Yeah. Not okay.
Yeah. Well,
it doesn't matter.
No. But he needed a cheat sheet to be able to even give that.
To even say that.
It's incredible.
And he said, you know, I was expressing my moral outrage. Your entire job as a statesman is to not express your moral outrage. Like, you bring that in. You act pragmatically. What is best for the country? You don't get on the table and bang your fist on the table and scream things like you're on the corner of the corner stool of a bar. That is not your job. You're supposed to be president of the United States.
If it was Trump, how would the media be reacting to that?
Yeah.
That's his personal feeling. That's
right.
All he was. They would not be giving him that slack at all.
He did far less, and they were calling for him to be removed from office.
Yeah.
So he walked down a slippery ramp.
At least
very carefully.
Yes. And look, Trump did say things that were provocative at times. We all know it. But at least he was doing it intentionally.
Exactly.
Like, he meant to do it.
Right.
He thought the right thing to say about Kim Jong-un at this moment is this. And you agree or disagree with it, at least he's in control of his faculties enough to make those decisions. Joe Biden is just saying things.
Uh-huh.
He's just blurting stuff out. Whatever pops into his mind at any given moment, he's going to say. And if next time he's making a speech, he says, I'm going to nuke Moscow in 5 minutes, I wouldn't be surprised at this point.
The funny thing to me about the cheat sheet, I mean, I guess this is probably obvious, but it's like, why do you need a cheat sheet for saying literally this was my feeling? Like, if it was your feeling, you wouldn't need a cheat sheet to say I was expressing my own personal feelings. That would just be obvious. And then the last question that it said, it was like, you know, trying to allude to whether or not NATO was fractured. And the answer was just like, no, NATO has never been more united. I'm like, It's very easy to remember.
Right, you don't need a lot of
any notes. Question on NATO, you just say, no, NATO's very united.
The other thing
like,
I love
you
about
you don't
the,
need a cheat sheet.
About the cheat sheet is that he holds it up for people to see and photograph. And it's in like 36 font. So it's another indication of how senile.
Yeah,
right.
Because
yeah.
you say correctly, why would you need notes for something like that? Mm-hmm. Why would you need notes? You wouldn't.
I read
he
it. Yeah.
Would.
Yeah. Yeah.
He
yeah.
can't remember things from minute to minute.
Yeah. Yep.
Like the reason he has notes is because he is in such severe cognitive decline. Yep. He might say the opposite. Right. He might say I was changing policy. He might say NATO is not united. Who knows what he might say?
But he was on prompter and he still went off prompter. So what the hell's the difference?
And this is what I mean. You can't even control it. Right? Like, I think his staff, honestly, is like just stand proper.
They
got to
be
no
going
what.
Out of their minds.
And they can't even get him to do that. And this is stuff that's really legitimately risking lives. This is like, it's not just him fumbling over a campaign speech. This is like legitimately he's putting American lives at risk with us. And, you know, it's like at the point where his staff would be better to just say, look, no. Don't, no meetings, mm-hmm. no speeches. Yeah. Let's go back to, remember the campaign strategy of staying in the basement? Go
yeah.
back to that. Because that worked much better than what we have now. This is like legitimately putting us in danger.
And back to Trump, say what you will about how inflammatory he was. It worked
yeah.
with him.
Exactly.
It worked. He kept him in check. Russia didn't do this under him.
North Korea
was calmed down under him. Mm-hmm. And all hell is breaking loose now because of Biden.
Yeah. But, I mean, on the flip side, there are no more mean tweets. So that's
that's
really great.
We didn't pack that in.
Yeah. Congratulations, everyone. No more mean tweets. We'll be right back.
Really good point.
We never factored that in at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now you feel good about
mean.
It, right?
Sometimes they were very mean. Right?
Very mean.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's worth it. I just want to give just a little bit of a warning. If you have young children in the room, probably don't want them to hear this particular segment. But I was looking at, you know, we talk about how crazy the left has gone with literally everything. There's a graphic that I saw on Twitter from Giving the Talk that, you know, consent obviously is a big deal. I agree that it's a big deal. But the left seems to take it to a whole new level. They say consent is ongoing. Continually check in with your partner about their comfort, desires, needs, and boundaries. And they give examples of what this might sound like. And it gets very graphic. I won't go into all of it. But the thing that I have an issue with is it's like, do you want it harder? Do you want it softer? What's going on for you? And then it switches to, are you thirsty? And then it says, do you want a snack?
I got to hook up with whoever this is. This is fantastic. Yes, where are the Cheetos? Bring them.
I mean, I don't think this thing ever gets done if you're asking all these questions.
That's like, what I'm
shut
saying.
Up. Stop asking me things. Can we just... You know, shut up.
That's what I'm saying. So for adults, consent is ongoing. You need to constantly make sure that an adult is on the same page. For children, you got to indoctrinate them any way you can.
So saying yes at the beginning is not enough now. They've got to say yes.
Yes.
Every step of the way.
Yes.
The whole time.
Yes. And you have to answer questions like, do you need to pee?
Unreal.
Do you need to pee?
Oh,
would you like something different? Would you like more of the same? Well, I feel like you should be able to tell by the context clues.
Should I leave and ask my best friend to come over? Would you like that? Or
one of my favorite parts of this is like, why is asking if you should be wearing a condom this late?
We're
having sex for like 2 hours, and then you ask about the condom?
Unreal.
So that's a great point. So you've gotten a drink, you've gotten a snack, you've taken a break, you pulled out the toys, and now you're asking
By the way, condom time, or is that happened after the pizza rolls? When does that occur? It really is.
Hey, should we lube the car right now? I understand that the tires are getting a little bald, too, and maybe we should do a brake check on it.
So strange.
Weird.
Like, it's like this, you have to sign these forms and like go through and get them notarized, and I don't know what is going to happen. This might stop all sex. We don't have to worry about any Me Too stuff because no one's ever going to hook up with anyone ever
abstinent.
Again. It is fascinating. Like, there's this change that has gone on in our society, and I think it actually is related to stuff like we talk about with BLM, where they were saying we want to undermine the nuclear family. Mm-hmm. This is undermining gender roles and how they interact, right? Like, you're overturning the entire process. I read something from a writer a couple of months ago where she was describing, like, the dance between men and women and how they get together. And if you think this was an, if you think about, like, what has happened with apps, right? You're now, I guess, everyone dates. They're on Tinder. They're on all these different apps. They're going through. They're sorting through. They're seeing people who are on the site intentionally. So they've consented in advance to be looked at as a possible mate, right? Possible date. And then they get approached on the app in that context. Well, that they were presenting that as like, okay, that's how people are now. So now if you're doing it the old school way where, like, you flirt with someone at work, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to have someone right over here who happens to be married with someone at work. That you're the weird one now, right?
Right,
I met my wife at work as well. Now, think about the way that's portrayed when you hear those stories. A guy is flirting with a person she works with and not treating her seriously for her work, but actually trying to get to know her personally.
And the power
dynamic. It's seen as this weird, psychotic, Me Too violation, where that was the way, you know, pretty much everybody who's complaining about it got born because all their parents met that way. Now it's weird to meet in a normal one-on-one work context or you meet somebody out somewhere. Now there has to be that like layer of digital consent before you even begin the process. It's all being turned upside down. All I know is I'm glad I'm not out there, man. For anyone who's out there dating, I wish you the best, but I don't want to go anywhere near it.
Well, you say that, but we both have sons who are younger, and it's like, what is going to happen to the boys of today
convent.
When they get to that?
I'm sending them to a convent.
I mean, really, it's like anytime they take a girl out on a date, they're going to have them sign a contract. It's very scary.
Yeah, it's very scary. And I really do worry about, especially my son, just, you know, it's natural, right?
Yeah.
To worry about, like, does someone decide they don't like him and report him as some terrible criminal?
Yep.
Who knows?
Yep.
And the interesting thing is that might be the left's preferred method of hooking up, but that's not law.
No.
That's not the law.
No.
You don't have to. That's
Actually, I would advise that you don't ask all these questions.
Yeah.
I would just.
Yeah.
That's going to kill the moment.
Except for the snack one. That's a good addition to this whole process. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You want to stop for a snack in the middle?
Yeah. Like, okay. I mean, bring a Slurpee along.
So
it's refreshing.
If you're a woman, maybe ask if they want a snack. If you're a man, don't ask if they want a snack. Don't ask your lady if she wants a snack in between. You're supposed to be the snack.
Dear, I have a Chris sandwich. Would you like to partake? I think that's a nice, loving gesture.
It's nice.
It is. They take the fun out of everything.
Everything.
The dating. I'm with you. I'm like, why would anyone want to date at this point? It just seems like way more of a chore than anything else.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be like you're meeting someone new. It's exciting, like all that. What is this? What is this process now?
And then if it happens,
so empty.
It's kind of nice if it's spontaneous,
right.
But this can't be
that. It can't
that.
Be spontaneous. Right.
Can't be.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right. We got to take a break. We'll be back. Don't forget to go wherever you get your audio podcasts. You got a good, there's a little magnifying glass. You hit it, you search for The News and Why It Matters. It's a really long title. I don't know why it's so long, but you don't have to enter in all of that because it will pop up. You can click it, and then from there you can subscribe, rate, and review the show. Obviously, give us 5 stars. We deserve no less. And if you leave us a nice review, we may read it live on air, like the one today from MJax88. Who gave us 5 stars and said, amazing, rock star, you can keep your show going in spite of the weather, but Pat and Keith can't. Uh-oh, shots fired.
They're still harping on that from what, a month and a half,
they
2 months ago?
They hate you.
Why are you so...
It was one day!
Why are you so lazy?
One day of ice! One day!
You can't risk your life to come into the
studio
to do this show?
No, well, I would have risked mine. I didn't want the rest of the peons to risk theirs.
Oh,
you
know?
That's so nice of you. Especially when you're
really
referring
nice.
To them as
that's
peons.
Big of me. Yeah. Yeah.
So you think of the peasants every once in a while.
Right.
That's really good
every
of you.
Every once in a while.
Yeah.
And I mean, the next day we slept overnight so that we could do the show for them.
Did you really?
Yeah. I slept here in my dressing room.
I wondered how you got here so early.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
And we did that for you.
How do you feel now?
Yeah.
Slept overnight. There are not beds here.
No.
The couches are not even comfortable.
Not at all.
So, just saying.
But luckily, you don't have any back problems or anything.
Right.
You know, so,
right.
Fine.
So everything's
no big
fine.
Deal. Very spry. Yeah. It's no big deal. Okay, MJAX88, sorry, we got distracted. Your guests are intelligent, well-informed, spot on, and your abortion rant was amazing. Keep fighting, I never miss your show. Thank you for your review. Thank you for giving Pat some crap, because we got to give everyone some crap from time to time.
Thanks, MJAX.
In fact, submit your review and give Stu some crap next time.
Yeah, do that. Because I'm staying home.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.